Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Chicago is in the national spotlight as day one of the convention kicks off at the United Center and McCormick Place. Thousands of delegates and activists are expected to visit the city to have their voices heard. Local leaders are ready to showcase the city and in a positive light while hoping to quash security concerns about crowds and violence. To begin tonight, we go inside the United Center where our Amanda Vinicky kicks off our coverage of the DNC. Amanda, of course, today's convention has been a long time in the making.
Yes, Brandis, it certainly has. You know, I actually recently spoke with a confidant of Governor J.B. Pritzker who'd been reminiscing about really how long this had been in the works. He said they'd been plotting to try to get the convention since 2021, and now it is finally here.
As you walk the convention floor in Chicago today and each day of the convention, be proud of who we are as Illinois Democrats.
He says that they can be proud of things like in policies such as for reproductive rights, raising the minimum wage, worker leave policies. And these are the sort of policies that we can expect to hear more about from the stage here at the DNC, including perhaps from Pritzker himself. He is scheduled to speak during primetime tomorrow. Chicago Mayor, that is, Brandon Johnson, is going to be giving some opening remarks when things get underway in just a bit here. Now, President Joe Biden, the headliner tonight. Now, Pritzker was among those who greeted the president this afternoon when Air Force One landed in Chicago. Senator Tammy Duckworth was a co-chair of Biden's campaign and says she recently met with him.
She said, you know, Mr. President, I just need a couple moments to grieve. I just need to cry a little bit. I understand, and I love Kamala, and I'm going to be there for her, but I just need to grieve for Joe Biden and who you are. And he said, no, this is about getting the work done, Tammy. I'm going to go get off the phone and go try to achieve a peace deal in Gaza.
Even Biden's most ardent fans are fully embracing Kamala Harris as the nominee. Top Illinois Democrats were there to meet her yesterday when she flew into Chicago. And a union leader who called Biden one of the best presidents in history for labor is really embracing and says that there is an exuberance now that Harris is in the race. They believe that she is the party's best chance to beat Republican nominee Donald Trump.
This sexist, racist, draft-dodging, lying son of a bitch has got to go once and for all. We not only have to win, we have to kick his ass all the way back to Mar-a-Lago, put a fork in him, and end Donald Trump's presence in our country.
Gwen Walls, a teacher and the wife of vice presidential nominee Minnesota Governor Tim Walls, she took a different tone. She got folksy even during a surprise appearance at Illinois' delegation breakfast this morning.
This is one of my favorite cities in the entire world. And I have to say, just being a hop, skip, and a jump in Minneapolis and St. Paul, we just make our way to Chicago quite often.
Illinois is very firmly a blue state, but there are tight contests this 2024 election cycle. Illinois' first openly gay congressman, that's Eric Sorensen of the 17th District, is the most at risk of losing his seat to Republican Judge Joe McGraw. Now, Sorensen, also the only meteorologist member of Congress.
So I can proudly say that the forecast for November 5th is good.
That's a common sentiment among Democrats, even those who are not weathermen. But again, Brandis, I'll remind you that that was also very much the feeling last month, leaving the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee among members of the Illinois GOP. Back to you.
Yeah, Amanda, it's certainly a time when both parties are feeling good about themselves and their prospects. Thank you. We'll check back in with you in a little bit. The Coalition to March on the DNC held its first demonstration earlier today, calling on the Biden administration to stop sending aid and weapons to Israel amid its war in Gaza. Chicago Tonight's Nick Blumberg is at Union Park, the site of this afternoon's rally, and he joins us now with more. Nick.
That's right, Brandis. This is the park where the march stepped off from. Some of the marchers actually making their way back to this location right now. It was a raucous, hours-long gathering here today where we heard many of the familiar charges against top Democrats, Genocide Joe, Killer Kamala, with organizers and speakers saying it is a moral imperative to stop supporting Israel.
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
We heard a lot of those kinds of marches, a very fired up crowd today, with organizers saying tens of thousands of Palestinians killed, countless more displaced. It's no time for the Democrats to be in town celebrating themselves at their convention.
This is the Vietnam War of our generation. In the late 60s, early 70s, hundreds of thousands, millions of people in the United States were in the streets to stop that war. It's incumbent upon us to do the same thing here. The main people that are going to win Palestinian freedom are the Palestinians themselves.
This march is a testament to how the very working and oppressed people these Democrats claim to represent will no longer stand for the currently existing order of our tax dollars being sent to fund a genocide. There is no lesser of two evils when the so-called lesser is aiding and abetting a genocide.
Now, after rallying in the park, including appearances from independent presidential candidate Cornel West and musician and poet Jamila Woods, a Chicago native, the march finally stepped off, going for quite a while down Washington Street before turning north and going west again.
And Nick, there was some debate about the march route. How did things end up?
That's right. Organizers said at this morning's press conference that they were going to push right until the very moment that they stepped off for the city to give them a longer route to accommodate the large crowd. One estimate from an organizer was some 15,000 people potentially, but that was to no avail. They did win a fight with the city to get a stage and amplified sound here for the rally at Union Park. Now, once the march took off nearly an hour after its scheduled start time, the crowd did move very slowly down the street, really just filling the entire street. There were lines of police officers on bikes all down the side of every road. We even saw Superintendent Larry Snelling at one point at the front of the march. In addition to protests against the war in Gaza, some of the chants took aim at the police department, saying the CPD, KKK, and Israeli military, they're all one and the same, essentially. Organizers also fought hard for a route within sight and sound of the United Center, which they got, though at a distance of several blocks away, well outside the perimeter. Probably was difficult for folks inside the United Center to hear too much of what was going on. We should say there was a small group of protesters not connected to the coalition that broke through part of the fence outside the outer security perimeter, with CPD reportedly bringing in officers to help secure that.
Nick, what other kind of protest do we expect this week?
Well, there was also a rally and march scheduled to end up at the DNC right about at this hour. That's led by the Poor People's Army. They were going to get much closer to the United Center because of a snafu at the city's end with the permit. And the coalition to march on the DNC is also planning, among other actions this week, what's expected to be another large-scale event on Thursday to coincide with the convention's final day.
Okay, Nick, thanks again, and we'll check back in with you on our 10 p.m. broadcast. Here in the studio now to talk about what they are expecting from the first night of the Democratic National Convention are Joe Walsh, former Republican congressman from Illinois, who ran for president himself 4 years ago and is now supporting the Harris-Walz ticket, and Pastor Corey Brooks, the CEO of Project Hood here in Chicago. Pastor Brooks spoke last month at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Gentlemen, welcome back. I want to talk about the protests that we're hearing about coming fresh off of the reporting that you heard from my colleague, Nick Blumberg. Corey Brooks, starting with you, please, do you have any concerns about these protests?
No, I don't have a lot of concern about the protests. It is kind of odd that you have the Democratic convention having these type of protests and these type of individuals who are seeking to have their voices heard by the Democratic Party. It just seems kind of different for me.
It's a problem for Kamala Harris. Look, protesting is as American as apple pie, but support for Israel splits the Democratic Party coalition. It's a problem Biden had. It's a problem Harris has. I personally, someone who's very pro-Israel, I think Kamala Harris needs to come out this week and strongly put out a statement about her strong support for Israel, because I worry about her, as someone who wants her to win, I worry about her losing moderate and Jewish support.
And as someone you said who wants her to win, but you're a former Republican, a never Trumper, but you're still a conservative. Let's, you know, explain why you're backing Kamala Harris, please.
Donald Trump is an existential threat to our democracy. Period. He's utterly unfit to be president. I'm not a Democrat. I disagree with Kamala Harris on most policy. But all of us Republicans for Harris are aligned in the fact that that guy back in the White House will be a real danger to the country. And that's what we're taking forth in battleground states around the country.
Pastor Brooks, you're a Republican. You gave the closing prayer at the RNC in Milwaukee last month, one of those nights. Why are you backing former President Trump? What about his messaging appeals to you?
Well, I think very differently than Joe. You know, Joe thinks one way about President Trump. I think another. I think that if we put Kamala Harris into office, we're going to be setting forth an agenda that is going to put America at a detriment. As far as our standing in the world, as far as our standing on where we go with education, our economy is already falling apart under the Biden-Kamala Harris regime. And so I think it's going to be even worse. So for me, it's about the policy. It's not about the person. I think Joe and others focus a lot on the person, Donald Trump. For me, I focus on policy. And I think anytime we play this identity politics things where we're focusing on race and gender, it gets us into trouble. So for me, it's always about the policy and it's always about the principles. And I don't talk about what I'm against. I talk about what I'm for. And I'm for public education being strong, but I'm also for school choice. That's Donald Trump. I am for not having children having transgender operations. That's I'm not for that. I'm for strong families. That's what I'm for. And I think Donald Trump represents those issues very well.
Joe Walsh, the highlight tonight, of course, it's going to be the keynote address from President Joe Biden after his, you know, historic decision to step aside and not run and endorsing her. We've got about 25 seconds left. How do you expect him to make the case for
her
tonight?
He's going to pass the torch, and he's going to say what he said 3 or 4 years ago, that he was the bridge, and this now is the next generation, and she can beat Donald Trump, and he will rally the entire country to get behind her.
Corey Brooks, is there anything you're expecting tonight?
So I think it's going to be a lot of excitement. I think the passing of the torch, I think the fact that they're planning on honoring Jesse Jackson, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement in the crowd. And I think they're going to get the momentum that they're looking for to lead them into the rest of the week.
All right, Joe Walsh, Corey Brooks, we'll check back in with you in a little bit shortly.
Thanks.
Thank you. But now let's go back out to the near west side and the shadow of the United Center. WTTW News reporter Joanna Hernandez has a look at how Chicago residents who live near the United Center are adjusting to this major disruption to their community. Joanna.
Brenda, that's right. From road closures to limited parking access, this is what local residents will have to adjust to throughout the week. Just to give you an idea of what that looks like, we're along South Paulina and West Adams. This is a very congested area, and we spoke to some locals on their thoughts. Take a listen.
I'm excited just to be there, just to be in the moment, you know, but I am concerned. I just want to make sure that my home is straight.
Alderman Walter Burnett says his community is no stranger to parking restrictions, especially during game days and events, but adds the city's planning for the DNC has been full of moving parts.
We have all the games. We have the OMC people be out, and they be blocking traffic, and we can't go down certain streets, and we get used to that. We adapt to that. We okay with that. Yeah. But nobody stop us from parking in front of our houses.
As DNC week kicks off, Alderman Burnett says there have been some frustrations with unwarranted parking restrictions leading up to today, but has been working to address the concerns.
They want everybody to be safe. We worked with the people who will have their parking restricted.
One of those residents is Jay Hunt. He lives at the Henry Horner Annex next to the United Center.
You got the big shots here. So what you going to do, tell them no?
The building is within the pedestrian restricted perimeter. Hunt says he has lived in the neighborhood for over 30 years and is used to traffic and road closures.
We'll be parking across the street, so that'll help. That was our biggest issue, was parking. So they're going to park across the street. I guess we'll get checked in and be able to walk into the building.
Despite concerns over restricted access points, parking, and traffic, Longtime resident Sandra Green says the convention is an opportunity for locals to experience a moment in history.
We need something like this, you know, so the kids can see things, you know. It's important for the kids to understand how, voting, important voting is.
Less than a mile away at Rush University Medical Center, doctors and staff are working overnight to prepare for any situation that might arise.
We are right in the backyard of the United Center. We are clearly aware that we are going to be impacted, and mainly from the perspective of traffic.
Interim Chief of Operations Shonda Morrow says the hospital has offered outpatients virtual options to avoid traveling into the area.
Feeling confident for sure, but also recognizing we may have to adjust.
Those participating in the protest are top of mind for the hospital, as well as Alderman Burnett.
Just want to say to all of the protesters that's coming, we appreciate your right to express yourselves, your right to stand up for what you believe in. Just don't mess up our community.
Again, this is a live view from West Ogden, West Adams, and along South Paulina. As you can see, very congested area of members of the OEMC trying to move in traffic. So if you can avoid this area, if you're going to be driving along this area, be patient. Reporting live from outside the United Center, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Brandis, I send it back to you.
Yeah, Joanna, a lot of folks avoiding that area if they can. Thank you so much. And we're back with Illinois House Speaker Chris Welch from the United Center right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Now we go back inside the United Center, where WTTW News reporter Amanda Vinicky is with Illinois House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis, I am. And actually, surprisingly, this is your first convention. Tell me what you're expecting, how the experience has been so far.
Well, we're in my first convention, and they're singing the national anthem, so I'm going to keep my hand by my heart. You know, I'm excited. This is the first. This is really exciting to be here to elect the first woman president of the United States. What an awesome opportunity we have here.
And of course, your first convention would actually have been 2020, but foiled because of the COVID pandemic. You're ready to party actually hosting one. Tell me about what's happening Wednesday.
Wednesday, the seven black speakers that exist in the nation right now, we're gathering to display black excellence. I mean, what's a better way to display black excellence than bringing seven black speakers, all first in our state's history, to one spot for everyone to see and meet.
What does it mean to be a black elected official in this day and age? You, House Speaker, potentially a second black president.
Well, I got to tell you, Jesse Jackson is going to be honored here tonight. You know, he opened the door for people like me, people like the other speakers, people like Mignon Moore, who just gaveled us into this convention. This is an awesome opportunity, but it's up to us to create opportunities for other people to be here just like us.
So speaking of, you have what you call now the Great 78, as in 78 members of the Illinois Democratic, members of the Illinois House. You want more. How many seats do you believe you can get up, and what are you going to be able to accomplish with that you can't right now?
Man, the Soul Children of Chicago, they were awesome. We got to just give them a shout out real quick. You know, it's certainly election time, and we have 78 great members of the House, but, you know, my job was electing Democrats. I want more in 24, and I think with this environment, we can certainly do that. But nothing's going to be given to us. We got to get out there and knock on doors. We got to do the work. Winners do the work.
You've talked about wanting to do more when it comes to reproductive rights. Workers' rights were two that stuck out to me after you spoke to the Illinois delegation this morning. Any particular policies?
You know what? There is truly two different paths that voters get to choose. The path that we're telling folks will move the country forward. This is all about workers' rights, women's rights, voters' rights, LGBTQ plus rights. If you care about rights that we've fought hard for in this country, you're going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to keep moving this country forward. The other ticket promises to take us backward. All you got to do is look at Project 2025. They've told us what they're going to do.
You know, civil rights activists that we covered after the death of Sonia Massey in Springfield by a Springfield sheriff's deputy had said they want to be part of this week, the Democratic National Convention agenda, to be focused on doing something about making sure that police officers who have troubled pasts are not able to get a job at another department, as was Sean Grayson, who's been charged with Massey's murder. What is Illinois going to do on that front, and do you want that to be part of things at the convention?
Well, let's remember that Illinois, we have the Safety Act, and the Safety Act, because of that, we have seen that body cam video that brought transparency to this. If there's something more that we can do, we're willing to listen to advocates and consider it. But what we really need is the George Floyd Act passed by Congress. We need to have this as a nationwide law. And with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Democrats in control of Congress, we can get that George Floyd Act passed into law.
You do believe that that would have, perhaps, would that have prevented Massey's murder? Or is there anything? I'm trying to really center in on Illinois because, again, her family has said, we want there to be more. There is something now. There's a database, but it wasn't used. He wasn't in it.
Yeah, we need to make sure bad apples don't get to go from department to department. And if there's a loophole in our law right now, we need to tighten that up. This person, I haven't pinpointed it yet. I'm open to ideas. You know, we got to be able to catch these bad apples before they do something like this. And, you know, if you've seen that video, it was horrific. It was tragic. It never should have happened. She should still be here.
And then can I also ask you, there are a lot of labor leaders, of course, here at the Democratic National Convention and those that have sponsored the Illinois Breakfast. But you are in court this week in your role as speaker anyway for what allegedly some members of your staff say is halting them from forming and joining a union. What is your response to that? I know that you say that there are some laws that are preventing it. You're the speaker, though. You make the laws. Is this not a sort of divide in terms of what Democrats are preaching and what they're practicing?
Well, you know, I'm a legislator. We legislate, and the law needs to be changed. I put my name on a bill. I was the chief sponsor. I ran it. I deeply believe in it. And I'm hoping that the bill passes the Senate and goes to the governor's desk.
All right. We will leave it at that. Thank you so much to, during his first convention, Illinois House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch. Brandis, back to you.
Amanda, thanks. And obviously, Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson there welcoming the crowd. And another shout out, as he said, to the Soul Children of Chicago choir that we heard from. And before we send you to PBS NewsHour convention coverage, we want to get some final thoughts from our studio guests, Joe Walsh and Pastor Corey Brooks. First, Pastor Brooks, over to you. Why do you think the Trump campaign appears to be struggling with its messaging and its effective line of attack against Vice President Harris?
Well, you know, I'm always saying that they pay a lot of attention to identity politics, always focusing on her blackness or whether she's Asian or the fact that talking about issues concerning her being a woman. I think those issues take away from the policies. I think if we would just focus more on, for one, immigration, which is a big thing, and it's a concern for a lot of people, I think that would drive home a better message. But I think they're going to have a better messaging after this convention. Hopefully they'll hone in on what needs to be said. Immigration, education, economics, all day long.
Trump's like a child. He wanted to run against Biden. He still wants to run against Biden. So he goes out there every day and he complains and stomps his feet like a child. The truth is, the Biden-Trump matchup was a matchup that most Americans didn't want. The Democrats did something about that, and they've generated a lot of excitement into a race in which we didn't expect a lot of excitement.
Joe Walsh, what do you think voters need to hear tonight from the lineup of speakers that we're hearing from?
I think they need to continue to hear hope and optimism and joy. And I know we overuse that word a little bit, but to counter it against the fear that Trump and J.D. Vance continue to push.
Do you think the Harris campaign and the Democrats, for that matter, need to be a little bit more clear about her policy ideas and her platform?
Yes, and I think she will be.
Do you think that's coming this week?
I think it had better come this week. It had better begin to come this week, yes.
Pastor Brooks, 10 seconds.
Well, it remains to be seen. We'll see what happens, and Joe and I will fight it out over what happens afterwards.
I know. Well, I know, and I can tell the two of you, you're used to, you enjoy sparring with each other. So I know you do. Joe Walsh, likewise. Pastor Corey Brooks, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again at 10. Thanks. And that is our show for now. Be sure to join us more for live coverage tonight after the convention around 10 p.m. as we break down day one of the Democratic National Convention. In the meantime, be sure to check out our website for a live blog covering the very latest news from the convention. And stay tuned for live convention coverage from our friends at the PBS NewsHour. Now for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe. We'll see you at 10.
Democrats, I started my journey to the stage in 1980. I was 12 years old, and my family was watching the Democratic National Convention.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.